Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli. The whole gang is here. Joe Fortunato. And you, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Phone lines are open. Plenty to get to tonight. The NFL Scouting Combine coming up next week in Indianapolis. A little preview of that.
Yeah, when does that officially start?
Well, it's a whole league week of activities. So there are PR and community relations meetings early in the week, and then the media portion begins on Wednesday. And they'll roll in GMs and head coaches, and all the players start coming in by position groups.
Okay, on Wednesday.
So on Wednesday.
That's the key date.
Right. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday are media days, and Saturday as well. But then the actual on-field portion begins Friday. The first position groups go Friday. They speak to the media on Wednesday. So it's 2 days before they go on the field. They do all the interviews with teams and all that all week long.
The Underwear Olympics.
That's right.
At its best.
It's a scene, man. There's no doubt about it.
No, it's cool. I remember going on the combine.
Did you do everything?
I did everything.
What was your 40?
I think it was like a 4.78, you know, something like that. But, you know, I mean, back then that was considered okay. I mean, nowadays, because I was a linebacker at that time, I mean, nowadays, linebacker, that's slow. I mean, you might get a positive grade if you were a first and second down Mike linebacker at 4.78, but most people would look at 4.78 nowadays and say he's not fast enough. We got to play him with his hand in the ground.
Which they did.
Yeah, which they did eventually. But it was very different because, you know, the pomp and circumstance wasn't at the combine at that point. You know,
what year was that?
It was 1989.
89, yeah.
They didn't have the media. You know, you didn't have all of, you know, the media press day. It was more one-on-one interview. There was very few people, you know, actually at the event when you were there working out. I remember the most extensive part of the combine, though, was the medical. That's the big reason for the combine is the medical evaluation. You know, you had different station. You had to go to each station, and by the time you got done with all the stations, poked, prodded, pulled from every direction.
I was sore.
And that was the first thing that you did.
Yeah. Awful.
And Tony's right. I mean, by the time you got done with the medical, because they check out every joint that you ever hurt, that you were sore because they were tugging and pulling and everything else on those joints. And you're like, man, can you leave it alone?
I had dislocated my kneecap my junior year in college.
Right.
And came back and played all my senior year. Didn't miss a game. Had no injury issues my entire senior year. In fact, the last 2 years, really didn't have an injury issue. But I dislocated my kneecap a game. And I'll never forget every station I went to, and especially being, considered one of the higher picks, they're like, we're going to make sure. I swear I thought they were going to pop my kneecap out of joint. And they would shove that thing as hard. And I would sit in there. I'm like, hey, guys, you're going to pop it out of joint. I mean, this can't to the point where it was uncomfortable.
Yeah, same way when I had a left shoulder in college. That was what's called a subluxer. It's basically the same thing that happened to the safety of the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC title game, Earl Thomas, where he subluxed his shoulder. He landed, he popped it out, and it pops right back in by itself. You don't have to have it manipulated back in. And so I had done that in college, and I never had it. I didn't have to have it surgically repaired. You just rehabilitated it. You got the shoulder joint strong. Well, at the combine, because it had subluxed, you know, that's the joint that they were checking me out, you know, the most. And, man, you won't talk about sore. I mean, I was sore. That's why I did, like, I think, 16 reps on 225.
No, that's not why. I mean, I had the same issue. It's amazing how far they go back. I had an injury to my shoulder, my redshirt freshman year. So 4 years earlier. And they wore out my shoulder.
Yeah. Wow.
And I'm like, guys, I've had nothing for 3 years and 3.5 years. Like, we don't care. I'm like, I have shoulder problems. I mean, maybe that's why I messed my shoulder up because they go to work on you. It's miserable.
The worst thing about
it was an awful day.
Tony, what was your 40, by the way, before we get to that?
You know, I want to say
we got to have a video of that. That'd be fantastic.
No, I want to say 5.1 and change.
Yeah,
I don't know the my whole claim to fame about the 40 is so I did – I remember I went to the combine, and I was the highest-rated lineman and, you know, all the different things. My favorite – I have two favorite – one of my favorite moments of the combine was Buddy Ryan, who was a coach of the Arizona Cardinals coming up. And back then, you'd sit around – you'd have a time where you'd go into a room and there'd be different tables. And you'd sit at a table and groups of teams would take turns of coming and spend 15 minutes and sitting there talking to you, and then they go to the next table. So Buddy Ryan's group comes up and sitting there, and he goes, you know, listen, there's no reason for me to ask any questions, you know. We picked 16th this year and you're not going to be there, so what the heck? He says, nice meeting you, but there's no reason for me to talk to you. And but then the other thing was, is going there, I remember, you know, it was, and it still is in vogue, is if you're a top pick, you don't do everything in the combine. You have your pro day.
Yeah.
And I remember they said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to do everything. You're going to do everything. I'm going to do everything. I mean, I play offensive line. I'm going to run what I run. I'm going to lift what I lift. I'll go do the drills, and you got the tape, and I mean, there's no real secret.
Figure it out.
There's no secret sauce. Now, I still – and the great thing is when they had the SC Pro Day, I didn't have to do anything. They're like, we've seen everything. You don't have to do anything. And I said, can I run a 40? And they said, why? I said, I want to see if I can run faster. Because it was on the track at SC. And so I got – so at the end of it, my
– pride.
Oh, pride. And I got – then they said – I asked for my time, and one of the scouts said, we got you at 4.97. I said, that's all I needed to know. I'm a 4.9 guy. Which I'm not, but so yeah, but
yeah, which, 225 bench. What did you have? Any?
I only did 23, and I had gone into the one of the things I did.
Well, you were a bottom half guy though. You were
no, but you know, it wasn't as much of that. I mean,
you're talking guys though. Me and Tony look 38 inch sleeve length.
Right, and exactly. The other thing is, I mean, I had a good bench at SC, and I mean, I was plenty strong enough. But I remember talking to people going before, and I said, okay, bench press. You know, what do I need to do? They said, listen, if you do more than 20, if you do between 20 and 27, it's all the same. I mean, if you're an offensive lineman, it's basically, okay, you're strong enough to play the position. Now, if you start getting up over 30 in the 30 area and higher, you're really strong. I mean, like, okay, this guy is really strong. And then if you get into the 40 where the rare breed, and by the way, most of the time those guys who do 40 aren't really good football players.
No, they just lift, right.
But if you get there, then you're known as a guy who is
freak.
Freaky strong. I knew I was never getting 30. I don't care how much I bench pressed, I wasn't getting 30. And I remember at SC, I tried it, you know, after the season, and I got 23. I lifted twice between January 1 and February 13th when I went to the combine, or 14th. I lifted twice. Bench.
Right.
I did push-ups every night, so I had my endurance. And I tried it twice, and I stayed at 23. I'm like, I'll go to – so I walked in there.
23 will work.
I walked in there. I know I'm going to do 23. I know every scout's going to tell me that's enough. And so what I spent my time on, I worked on the agility drills, making sure I wanted to be in shape. And so I was in good shape. My weight was right. And that's what I spent my time doing, getting ready for the combine. And it wasn't like I didn't go – I mean, there wasn't the combine gurus back when I was –
The preparation for the combine didn't exist.
I did myself pretty much.
Now you have guys. I mean, as soon as the college season is over, they go to these academies they're literally training for the drills that are going to be at the combine. They're not training for football.
And they take practice Wunderlich test.
Yeah.
Did you ever take the Wunderlich test before you took it?
No,
I didn't even know what it was. I mean, you're going to take a test, the Wunderlich test. I said, okay. I still to this day have no idea what I said.
They had two tests that they administered at the combine back in the day. One of them was the Wunderlich, and then the other one was some type of psychological profile.
The Giants did it.
And you want to talk about weird now.
Yeah, weird question.
I mean, it was like, you know, do you have dreams about killing people? You know, have
like weird stuff.
Crazy thoughts of, you know, about hurting people? I mean,
so the whole time I answered, I was trying to think, what do they want me to say?
Yeah, the key is, what did you answer, I guess, Jeff?
I'm just sitting there going through it. I'm like, this is kind of strange. But it would be, I was just sitting there thinking,
mess with somebody, you can answer.
I should go ahead and just like totally just rip it the wrong way. And see what kind of reactions.
And then you have the drug test. You have the drug test, and that's about it. And then the other thing that was, you have the interviews. And so you have the individual team interviews. And I remember being in my room, and the team would call it, like, because you'd be done, And, you know, there was no media back when we did it.
Right.
I mean, there might be some in the lobby, but there's not media day or anything like that. So you go back to your eat, go back to your room, and get ready for the next day, and, unless a team called you down and said, hey, we want to meet with you. And so then you go down there, and then if you went down there once, at least my experience was, then the team would see you and said, as soon as you got done with me, that team, come meet with this team. And it was so unorganized in the sense of, at least back then, it wasn't like you're going to go to this team, this team, this team. You'd be down there meeting with the team, and then they say, hey, we want to get you.
Chappy on the shoulder.
Right, like, right. Hey, we want to get you. We want to get you. It's like.
Yeah, whereas now you go through the whole circuit.
They've got a PR guy with you, taking you through, and it's a whole.
You know, I mean, these guys nowadays, I mean, not only do they practice the drills that they're going to execute at the combine leading up to it from the end of the college season until the combine itself, but they also have people that are literally coaching them up for the interview process.
Which is amazing to me.
Well, and to me, that's a shame.
It's fake.
Because
it's
not
authentic.
You know, I mean, how do you really evaluate somebody who's been coached up to say certain things and to act a certain way when it's just not them?
Now, some guys need to be coached up based on the guys I've met.
There's no doubt. But, you know, I
promise you that. They need to be coached because they're either really dumb or just not good people.
And I think that's why the teams, a lot of times, when they have the opportunity to go to the pro days or to bring the player here, they try to get them in a different environment, an unexpected environment, because they know that the combine, these guys are kind of, they're programmed.
Yeah. Well, another thing they'll do is, you go through your series of questions, and I would do it, and I think teams do this now, is they'll throw an off-the-wall question or say something to try to shock the guy to see how they react. Because you want to try to get them off their spot.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have been trained. I mean, like Jeff and I went to the combine. I had no combine coach. I had no training interview process. I literally packed my bag, got on a plane, got picked up, and just went and was, this is who I am. And it's so different now. So I think teams have to really, you have to try to change it, you keep on throwing fastballs, they're going to hit it, it's like batting practice. All right, let me throw a curve or a changeup and get them off guard and see how they respond to it.
And I think that's why, teams, prior to the combine and then after the combine, they get an impression on a player, but then they do their due diligence. They're going to talk to people on campus, mm-hmm. talk to coaches that they have a relationship with, and to try to find out more. I mean, then they'll talk to everybody. I mean, some teams have somebody on staff who literally is almost like a private investigator and will do background checks on everybody to the full extent to where they can vet all these guys. I mean, if you're looking at, investing in some cases, $20, $30 million on a guy, you want to know if what you're buying is the true bill of goods. And I get that. But I can tell you, though, the most embarrassing part of the combine.
Yes.
And I remember it's the first time that I ever felt like a piece of meat.
Okay.
Was, a part of the process, you literally get up on a stage and you stand in front of 100 people and you're basically in underwear. And you just stand there front, they look
turn
at
around.
You front, turn to the side profile, turn around, we look at your back, and you're just like, I feel like a cattle, a big cow. Prize cow at an auction. I don't want to say prize cow. I was just a cow on the auction block.
Well, another thing is that once they do that, then you go through a series. You're in a room and they do your arm length, hand, and it's like you are like cattle. You go through number whatever, 38 inch.
Yeah, you get a number. Yeah, at some point I felt like
12-inch hands.
Can you give me an ear tag?
And you're just processed through. Like, it's like at a processing plant. At the end of it, it's like, all right, I wonder if I'm good enough.
Where the truth comes out about a lot of guys, too. Height and weight change in that type of environment. From college numbers, all of a sudden you lose an inch or two here.
College still has a little bit of that, little league, high school-esque height weights.
What was your height weight in college?
6'5" and a half, 6'6", 235.
And what were you at the combine?
Same height, 6'5" and a half, 6'6", and then I think 240.
Yeah.
238, 240, somewhere right in there. You remember as a kid when you used to get ready to play a team, high school or little league, and the program would come out, and you go pick up the program, and you'd be looking at all the heights and weights of these guys, and you'd be going, wow, he's pretty big. And then they come out running on the field, and you go, they say here that he's 6'3", 270 pounds, and you're looking up and you're going, nah, he's like 235.
You know who are the worst at that? Are high school and college basketball. Nothing worse than lying about how tall they are. And I've seen it. I remember at SC, a guy named Harold Miner, Baby Jordan. They said he was 6'6", and he was a heck of a first-round draft pick for the Miami Heat.
Sure.
6'6". And we worked out every day together. I used to walk by him because I was at the combine, at school, every day of my life from the time I was in college until now at 6'7", a little over 6'7". And I used to walk by him, and I'm like, Harold, if you're 6'6", I'm 6'11". And he went to the combine, measured like at 6'2¾".
Nice.
And it just, I mean, so you know.
There'll be a few of those.
Basically the message is you're found out.
That's right.
Sooner or later, you found out you can't hide your true height and weight forever.
We'll come back in a moment. Mike Mayock, NFL Network, has his top five by position going into the combine. That'll change as the pre-draft process goes along. Help your elementary school students submit their entry to the Jaguars Garden Essay Contest by February 16th for a chance to win a school visit from the Jacksonville Jaguars and a football prize pack. For details, visit jaguars.com/essay. More Jaguars Thursday after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. For more information, go to primesport.com, and the Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. JP Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Bissell. You guys didn't get that last line in there last time, though. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. So
I actually thought that was if I was grading that.
Okay, like a combine, card-reading combine.
You know, usually you like to go, let's say, between 1 and a 10. How's that grade out? But I would give that just
10 a good, 1 bad.
Yeah, that was awful.
As in what number, like a 2?
Ooh.
5.
That's better than a 2. 3 plus.
Yeah. Middle road 5.
But as you say.
I thought there was no energy.
As in the combine, yeah, you might can run the 40 well, you do some other things. And he's not the strongest lineman, not
so
the weakest lineman.
So you're a bad card reader.
But overall, it might be a bad card reader, but there's some other things that do well.
So maybe you should delegate your card reading.
Well, you want to read the next one?
I mean, if you want,
I don't know. It sounds like you want to read the next one.
If you want an artist to do it, then
an artiste. Yeah, we'll get right on that. 355 at FL1. 355-6351. Big week next week. Teams can start franchise tagging or transition tagging players starting Monday. That goes through 4 p.m. March 2nd. Combine, of course. And the Jaguars will have the annual state of the franchise next week. They've not announced a day for that, but Shad Khan said in an interview at the Super Bowl that part of that annual presentation will be a plan for the Shipyards project. So that's coming up next week.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that. I mean, at some point, that's some phenomenal property, some phenomenal real estate. We'll really connect, the stadium area all the way to the downtown area and make it more vibrant.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see that happen. I mean, I remember coming here in 1995. And going, man, I said, at some point you want to see that all be just kind of a, I guess, what's a city that really has a lot of that? Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore's in a harbor,
Sure.
with all that they
have.
Even
the way Cincinnati's down the river there.
Cincinnati's got a really nice setup.
On the riverfront.
Was it San Antonio?
Yeah, but that's not a real river. Walk, yeah. That's like a little.
It's not a big river. But, yeah. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you want to see some activities going on there, hopefully that'll happen along our river, and it's a beautiful area.
We'll see. That's coming up this week. Of course, a free agency opens 4 p.m. March 10th. That's a Tuesday. There is a negotiating window of 3 days before free agency. That starts at noon March 7th,
Well, we know what that means. It means that, the conversations start well before the three-day, conversation period. They can sit there and have, widen these windows all they want. But I guarantee you that conversations have already happened between agent and general managers. And you're not going to hear about it and nobody would accept or admit that something like that has gone on. But I'm sure that those discussions have happened. I'm not saying that they're prevalent, but those discussions happen.
You think of I don't think yet.
Oh, absolutely.
Only because you don't know who's going to be tagged or not.
Well, if it doesn't matter. You know, then, you know what you have is that if you have.
So, like a perfect example. A perfect example. The Jaguars, you know, all the talk. I mean, whether it's true or not, we don't know. But veteran receiver. Mm-hmm. So you look at the veteran receiver list, top five guys rated. It's actually on Jaguars.com.
That's right.
Ozone's done a good job of breaking it down. You have Demaryius Thomas of the Broncos. You have Dez Bryant, Randall Cobb, Jeremy Maclin and of the Eagles, Cobb of the Packers, and Torrey Smith of the Ravens.
Yeah, but here –
there is no way, Jeff, no way all five of those guys are going to be free agents.
No, but here's the thing. If you're an agent, okay, and you're working for one of these wide receivers, your agent's job is to maximize your value. So how can the agent actually know what your value is unless you're truly free? You can't.
No, but so if I'm Demaryius Thomas's agent.
If I'm Demaryius.
I'm not calling. I don't need to call anybody. I'm looking at the top five highest paid receivers and saying my guy's one of the top five best receivers in this game. But he's getting paid this.
But here's what's happening is that, you know, the Broncos are going to be going to his agent saying.
They're
going to
franchise him.
Okay.
Matter.
Well, I mean, if the franchise tag is not involved, you know, the Broncos are going to be going to him saying, hey, look, you know, before you get to free agency, you know, here's the deal that we want to go ahead and sign you. Well, if you're the agent. And wouldn't you like to have a team call you up that's going to tell you whether they can beat that deal or not if he gets to free agency without a franchise tag? I mean, from my perspective, I want my agent to know what my value is going to be. I want him to feelers out.
I guess, if you're the agent, you're doing that for sure.
Absolutely.
I agree with that part. If I'm a general manager, I'm not saying a word about that one. Because it's not worth the whatever risk there is or isn't, I'm not touching it because there's no way the Broncos let him get free. So I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
But I mean, in order to gauge a player's interest or to gauge or to let a player know of what the interest is from another team, if you can find a way to get some information on, if you're the team, to the player and the player's agent to let them know, that, hey, look, you know, if you get the free agency, we're a player, so don't go and hastily sign a deal before you get the free agency.
That conversation happens.
That's what I'm talking about.
I agree with that. I don't think numbers are talk.
Oh, absolutely they are.
I think general
ballpark
terms,
numbers, general numbers are absolutely talk.
I think it's more in the range of, hey, listen, he's a top five receiver, we'll pay him so.
Well, the agent can say to some executive on another team and, let's say, you know, an executive for the non-Broncos calls and says, hey, look, we really would like to have Demaryius Thomas. You know, and the agent for Demaryius Thomas says, well, you know, I've got a deal in place for the Broncos, you know, that's really good, and it's averaging $10 million a year, you know, and it's got X amount of guaranteed money. And the unnamed team executive says, well, you know what,
we would pay him a lot more than that. Make it the Browns because they like to cheat.
So the Browns would say, we would really – be interested in Demaryius Thomas at about $13 million a year and probably somewhere in the range of $25 million guaranteed, more than what the Broncos are going to pay him. You know, so it's a shame that he's going to sign that deal. You know, so a little subtleness. I mean, look, as far as I'm concerned, why not? You know, I mean,
a lot of backroom deals happen. You have to have the rules of the league, otherwise it's chaotic. So at least this way, there's some discretion when they do it.
Let's go to the phone lines, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Ron on the line from Gainesville to talk free agency. What's up, Ron?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
Good. What's up?
All right, I had a question for almost all three of you guys. First, UJP.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
This will be first.
What are you going to ask him about, card reads?
No, I'm not going to ask him about hard reads. I want to ask him, what does he think about maybe the Jaguars picking up T.J. Yeldon in the draft, if he's a possible second or third round pick.
Okay.
He's a slasher, one cut back. Yes. You know, he fits you guys' scheme, his zone blocking scheme. Mm-hmm. Tony, I wanted to ask you about a USC Trojan and Leonard Williams. What do you guys think about picking him up in the draft?
If he's there in the third pick, take him. That's all you need to know.
Oh, yeah. And lastly, Jeff, I want to know, what do you think about this? This might be totally out of the ballpark, but all Pete Prisco, I know, Tony, please don't do it, but all Pete Prisco and other guys talk about is how fast those linebackers are in Seattle. One guy that's going to hit the free agent market that might not be that expensive and fits the age range of what Dave Caldwell and those guys are looking for is Rinaldo McClain, another Alabama guy. So, JP, I guess it's for you, too. But he fits the mold. He's about 6'4". He runs like the wind. I know the Super Bowl MVP is going to be up for free agency in Seattle, too. But I think McClain would fit the scheme. And if you guys could package a deal with moving Paul Posnanski out and getting some more additional draft picks maybe later on this year or next year, I think it might actually fit the scheme. And Charles Clay as a tight end would be great. I'll take you guys' comments off the air. Well, unless you guys want me to stay on, but thank you very much for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Good job.
Appreciate you. Didn't McClain have some off-the-field stuff, Rolando McClain?
A few years ago. He retired like 8 times and he came back this year.
And talking about the Cowboys linebacker. He's
he had a great year, though.
He had a heck of a year for the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't know what his contract situation is. Is he free? Is he going to be a UFA?
Free. Yeah.
I think he just signed a 1-year deal with the Cowboys to come out of retirement.
Yeah, right. I know, like, his home burned down or something a few weeks ago.
There was a lot of stuff going on with him. He is a heck of a football player, though. I mean, he is a really good football player.
Yeah, but, you know,
moving Posnanski out, they like Paul. He's not
I'm not worried about moving Paws out. I'm worried about trying to find another guy to go along with Paul and with Telvin Smith.
I think what you're trying to do, where I agree with the caller, is find more speed at linebacker. And where you can have Puz play first and second down at the middle, and you have more speed with Telvin and another guy on third down.
Well, Paul's got speed, but he's probably not the most fluid linebacker in coverage. Terrible. He's not terrible.
But you'd rather have a better coverage guy on third down. I'm taking nothing against Paul. He's done a great job. I don't want to see him leave. I think he's valuable to this team. And as a middle linebacker, especially on first and second down, he is outstanding. And I think you have to get in today's game, the way you're a nickel, you know, 60% of the time, because of how much they spread you out and the speed on the field, you have to have speed at linebacker. That's why Telvin is so valuable, because you can match him up and he can run with guys.
We had Paul on Jaguars.com live yesterday.
Saw that.
And remember what he ran at the 40 at the combine in the 40?
4.7,
it was listed online. And then he ran like a 4.59 in his pro day. So there you go.
Yeah, he's fast. He's plenty fast enough.
He said 22 reps on the bench was not enough. He felt very weak at the combine.
That's all he did?
That's all he did, 22.
Really?
He looks like he could do 52.
Yeah, today, different animal, yes. But he was a little embarrassed by the 22 number.
But guess how much the bench press matters when you're on the football field?
Yeah, perfect story on that. Probably one of the worst bench pressers in Jaguars history. Leon Searcy.
Okay.
One of the most powerful people that ever played the game.
Man to ever play the game, and probably has the strongest punch that I have – well, not probably. It is the strongest punch that I have ever felt on the football field.
Jeff, when I got here, if he could bench 300 pounds, he was lucky. Lucky.
It wasn't much.
But as far as playing strength in practice, he was as strong playing as most guys – I played against at the defense end position. Now, there are certain guys, you know, like a Reggie White or,
freaks
that are just so powerful that, you know, John Randall's another guy. I mean, guys like that. But as far as, like, day in and day out guys that I play on Sundays, Jeff was just as powerful and as strong as anyone and couldn't bench 300 pounds, especially coming off of a shoulder injury.
Yeah, shoulder surgery. We had a guy in college, and I'll never forget this. There was a highly touted prospect that was coming out of the Washington, D.C. area. His name was Antonio Rice. I mean, big-time running back prospect. Virginia got him. And it was a few years before I got there. And there was a guy that also came from the same high school, which was one of those Washington, D.C. high schools that had, you know, a perennial great team. And his name was John Burns. And John, his nickname was Trash Can. I mean, because literally his body was built like a trash can. So it was John Trash Can Burns, played guard, and had a bad body, just like Leon. I mean, Leon did, 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 did not look good with his shirt off. Trust me. And I didn't like stare at everybody, but you could tell.
Obviously,
like,
you had
Leon didn't look very good with
the
shirt.
You were very interested in looking at Leon.
John Trashcan Burns was the exact same way. John, you'd take John in the weight room, and he had 225 on and was struggling with it. But when John Trashcan Burns hit you on the practice field,
you knew it.
He rocked your teeth. And Leon Searcy was the same way. I mean, so, you know, weight
the bench press is the most overrated thing, everything. In my opinion.
All right, so you got to answer the question.
Yeah.
About
I couldn't do 225 though.
Got to answer the
question.
You
could do 125 right now.
That Ron had about the running back at Alabama.
Yeldon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd take him.
You like him?
I don't know if I like
that high?
Him. I don't like him in the first. I'm not a big fan of him probably in the second either. I don't know why would you say first or second round? I don't know how you can narrow it down this early.
He said second or third.
Yeah, maybe a little later probably.
Third, fourth.
Is he fast?
I think there are better running backs than him.
Is he fast?
He can, yeah. Once he gets in the open space, yeah, he can slash a little bit.
You know, it's always
Henry is the guy next year.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah, I mean he's the guy.
Stud.
He's a stud now. Absolutely. Now
he's a big man.
Of those,
I remember
keep rolling him through there.
They had that game on ESPN2, I guess it was, where you had Fred Taylor's son and Derrick Henry.
Yep.
I get his name right.
Yeah, Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Because I always screw it up and say Derrick Harvey sometimes. But Derrick Henry and Fred Taylor's son at that game. And, boy, I mean, you want to talk about two great high school backs. That was fun to watch.
And Derrick Henry in college, he's been.
Well, he's a stud.
He doesn't get very many reps, which is great if you're a pro team because he's not going to have much wear on him.
And that's just the way they've been doing it the last 5-7 years at Alabama is have two-back system.
After they wore out Trent Richardson.
It was Ingram and Richardson together. And Ingram left. It was Richardson and Lacy. And now it's Lacy. You know, they just keep rolling them through there. That's how we do it.
Now, here's a question for you. With Alabama.
Don't roll your eyes at me.
With Alabama having had, I mean, they've had some outstanding offensive linemen. Can you really evaluate the running back position? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right.
Lacy turned out to be pretty good in Green Bay.
No, Lacy's fantastic. But, you know, you're talking three backs. Ingram was considered a bust until this past year.
Played great this year.
He's a free agent, too.
And the poor fella in Indianapolis might get cut.
He can't play.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. We'll go around the National Football League when we come back. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Get more in 2015. Become a Jaguars season ticket member and get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans in the National Football League. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit Jaguars.com/tickets. Or call and speak to an account manager, 633-2000.
No comment.
What was that?
It was a great – I love the promo. We do have the best fan experience. It's amazing. The pools were great this year, but the read did not do it justice.
What was wrong with the read?
No energy. I mean, when you're the best
– No energy.
I mean, the best fan experience. That's how you got to communicate it, not the best fan experience in the NFL.
You want to read it? Here. Go ahead. It's right there. Yeah. Let's do
this
again.
We're going to let the fans, the listeners weigh in?
Yeah. Let's do the Mayock thing. We're short on time because you didn't manage it very well before. Let's make sure we do that.
Jeez, Tony. All right, Mike Mayock puts out his position rankings. He's not a big – he's not a mock draft guy. He doesn't do that. So he does top five rankings for each position in the 2015 NFL draft.
Well, he does one mock draft right before that.
Right at the very end, yeah. He's not a January mock draft guy. And
he doesn't have Mayock's mock draft 2.0.
No, there's none of that.
Like
the
Ozone.
Day before the draft.
Like Ozone has like 2.5 Ozone mock draft.
Right, every Tuesday and Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, we change it every day.
Quarterback, you can guess who's number one on his list, right? Jameis Winston, Mariota, Bryce Petty of Baylor, Brett Hundley, UCLA, Garrett Grayson. You know, talking to Daniel Jeremiah yesterday on Jaguars.com Live, it's the top two guys, and then he didn't have another quarterback in his top 50. So not really a great quarterback year outside of the top two guys. Running back Melvin Gordon ahead of Todd Gurley, Abdullah, Nebraska, Duke Johnson, Miami, and Tevin Coleman of Indiana is number five.
I saw Abdullah at the Senior Bowl. He was on the north. And that cat ain't very big. as far as in stature, height-wise? Mm-hmm. How tall is he? Does it say there?
We'll find out. Stand by.
He is explosive and a good back. I mean, he looked
5'9", 195.
But he is a different. You watch him on the field. And he has a gear and can cut and change direction. Very impressive at the Senior Bowl.
Here's the question
from
that
Homewood,
I have.
Alabama.
Yeah, Birmingham, how in the world does he not go to the University of Alabama, being that he's from Homewood High School in Alabama?
I mean, you know, we got running backs in Alabama. That's what happens, you know.
What are you doing over there, JP?
My computer had audio, sorry. That's what they got, running backs in Tuscaloosa. What do you want? Wide receiver, Kevin White of West Virginia, rated the number one prospect. Amari Cooper, Alabama, 2. Devontae Parker at Louisville, 3. Green Beckham, Missouri, 4.
Who's 5?
Funchess, Michigan.
Funchess is a big guy. Almost like a...
Where did Kevin White come from? Anybody seen him?
No. So, how did he get ahead of Amari Cooper?
That's a good question.
A big wide receiver. Excuse me. Big wide receiver. 6'3", 210. Saying that he had some drops in 13. Transferred from a JUCO. But he caught everything in 14, runs a lot of different routes, high points the ball. Doesn't say anything about speed. But I just find it hard to believe that Amari Cooper is not number one.
And these can change, of course. I mean, once the combine happens, pro days happen.
Oh, there's so much more to happen.
This is just an
initial. Are your feelings hurt?
No.
Okay.
It's okay.
Keep going.
Tight end, Max Williams, Minnesota. Clive Walford from the U. O'Leary, Florida State, is 3rd. Croft from Rutgers, and Koyak from Notre Dame is 5th.
The Miami guy is 2nd?
He's 2nd. Clive Walford. Interior offensive lineman, Scherf of Iowa, Irving, FSU, Tomlinson, Duke, and the rest. Offensive tackle, T.J. Clemmings of Pitt. You heard of these guys at all?
Yeah, Clemmings was at he was at the Senior Bowl. So was Collins. Is it Collins from Duke?
Tomlinson is from Duke.
Tomlinson was both of those guys were there. Both good players. I think the kid from Pitt is a little bit of a project.
Clemmings.
Yeah. But man, I was impressed with them. Met with them. Talked with them. Good looking. Can get bigger. And probably, I don't know if he's a left tackle, but just because he hasn't played a lot of. Offensive line. I think he was a tight end or something, or a defensive lineman going into college. If I remember correctly, but a really good athlete and a long arm guy. I think he can be a good player.
Andrews Pete from Stanford is 2. Leo Collins, LSU, was
tackle?
At Senior Bowl 2. Yeah,
I don't think he's a left tackle in my opinion.
No.
He's. I enjoyed work with him. He is a tough, strong, powerful human being. I think he's a right tackle or an interior offensive lineman. He's probably only 6'4", maybe 6'5". I'm not sure he's a left tackle.
We go to defense, of course, interior defensive lineman Leonard Williams, 1. Danny Shelton of Washington, 2. Malcolm Brown, Texas, 3. Those are the top 3. You're a Williams guy.
Yeah, Williams is, I mean, he's a stud. I mean, you talk to people, they mention J.J. Watt. What is he, 6'5", Jeff?
6'5", 300. And a crazy thing is when you go to Mayock's article where he's got the rankings, you know, clickable names on the rankings, and you click on Leonard Williams, he literally looks like Jimi Hendrix after a really bad episode with some crazy drugs. I mean, he's got hair going all over the place.
Leonard Williams is a Daytona Beach kid who is 6'5", 300 pounds, runs like a deer, great side-to-side, long arms, and has not developed into a man as far as body-wise. You get him in the weight room, the guy's a freak. I mean, one-on-one, there's nobody who could block him in college. He's a great player. Danny Shelton from Washington was at the Senior Bowl. I believe is he a defensive tackle, I believe? Maybe a nose. Mm-hmm. He is a powerful human being who is tough to move off his spot.
Edge rusher is a category for Mayock. Dante Fowler Jr. of Florida is 1, above Randy Gregory.
Really?
Nebraska. How about that?
I saw Fowler play.
Fowler, yes.
What did I say?
Flower.
Oh, Flower.
It's okay.
Flower.
Or him.
Him too. Yeah, I haven't seen
the names come up recently.
And I haven't seen Randy Gregory ever play, and I know everyone loves him. So,
Linebacker, Paul Dawson, TCU. McKinney from Miss State. Perryman from the U. Those are the top three. Corners, Waynes from Michigan State. Peters of Washington. Collins, LSU. And at safety, Collins from Alabama. Thompson from Washington. And Smith from Fresno State. Those are some of the top at each position, according to Mike Mayock. And those will change. You know, next week at the Combine will be the first time those really start to change as well. Hey, we got one more segment to come. We'll go around the National Football League in a moment. Join John Osier and me for Jaguars.com Live Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We'll have special guests and keep you informed of the latest Jags news and take your social media questions. And next week will be in Indy, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday live from Lucas Oil Stadium. It's Jaguars.com Live on Jaguars.com. Stick'em is a topic now. We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio. Final segment of Jaguars Thursday, a 360-degree look around the National Football League presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. Let's go around the National Football League.
Let's do it.
Adrian Peterson says he wants to remain in Minnesota. Now, Mark Wilf, the team owner and president, said that the Vikings would love to have him back this year as he takes care of the issues with the league. He's due to earn $12.75 million, and over $15 million of that will go against the cap. So,
a lot of money.
What do you think?
A lot of money to have locked up into the running back position in today's football. But he's a difference
maker.
He's
the guy, right?
He's a great player.
Best back in the National Football League, hands down. Best runner, special player. He's on a football team that doesn't have any solution at quarterback yet. They have the cap room.
You're not a fan of Bridgewater?
I mean, he does not. Well, my point is that they're not paying.
They're not paying a franchise quarterback. You're exactly right.
You know, so, I mean, they have the cap ability to keep a great player like that. And, you know, if you've got a young quarterback, what better way to really allow him the time to develop than having the best back in the National Football League?
Do you worry, though, a year off out of the game, does it affect anything?
Well, I think most guys, you might have that reaction, but we're talking about a guy who came back from an ACL reconstruction and came back and ripped the league up the next year.
You're right. He's a freak of nature.
You know, no worries for me on that.
Richie Incognito signed with the Bills. Of course, the Boeing scandal in Miami in 2013. I mean, he was going to play.
He's got
some
a lot
point.
Of scandals now. I mean, he supposedly groped a female employee or a female on a charity golf course. He supposedly was demeaning to an Asian American in the training room. He's obviously had the bullying issue going on in the locker room. He's got multiple issues now.
Can he play?
I mean, he's an average player. I mean, that's kind of what he is. I mean, do you want to take a flyer on an average player that has that kind of baggage?
He's a box guard. And in the phone booth, he's pretty good. In space, he struggles. You know, listen, the groping of a female on a golf course is unacceptable, is ridiculous, and should be zero tolerance. As far as the bullying and the allegations of being demeaning to an Asian American, listen, racism's wrong. So hear me when I say this. But number one, he did his time. He paid the price. And number two, I'm not going to sit here and be a hypocrite now and say, especially when you're talking about the bullying side of it, easily in any locker room around the NFL. Now, it sounds like they went to another level, but easily. In the locker rooms, when Jeff and I were in there, there was a lot of things said and a lot of fun poked and a lot of guys trash talking, going after each other. And if you had a camera in there and was running it live and showed that without the context of a locker room and what was going on, people would have freaked out and said, those guys are animals. How can you act that way? They're bullying. They're saying demeaning things. They're saying things that are politically incorrect and everything else. And so I think it's a little bit – maybe he went too far, and it sounds like from the report it did, but it's a little bit hypocritical for us to act like things aren't said in the locker room that we all chuckle at, that probably, you know, in the regular workplace would be a HR nightmare.
Bottom line, he's with the Bills. Now, Jerry Rice recently admitting to using Stick'Em on his gloves and claimed that everyone did it. Of course, Chris Carter and Michael Irvin are two of the Hall of Famers that have come out since denying that they used Stick'Em.
First of all, I remember when before it was a rule, a written rule, everyone sprayed their gloves with the sticky stuff before they went out. And the other thing,
the sticky stuff was stuff used to put on your ankle to make the tape stick better.
Okay, right.
Everyone did it. And the other thing all the offense and defensive linemen did was spray their jerseys with silicone before they started to
Which was not legal.
But they didn't.
Well, they did it.
Nobody checked, right?
No, they didn't check.
Well, they started checking.
A year later. So my rookie year, I think my first 2 years, you go out, you get sprayed up with silicone, spray the sticky stuff, and then – I think it was year three. Now they're all of a sudden they're feeling all the jerseys up.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was year two, but at least 1 year of my career. And because I remember playing against guys on their teams, and for the first quarter, your hands are sliding.
All over the place.
And so no big deal to me. I mean, because I agree with Jerry. I think he's being honest, and I think most people are doing it.
There you have it. As you look around the National Football League, I'll be in Indy next week. You guys will hold down the fort here.
It'll be the best card reading of the year.
We're going to talk to you, though.
I will be there from Lucas Oil Stadium.
We want to get the down low on what's going on.
Or the low down.
Behind the scenes.
We'll give you both, the down low and the low
I
down.
I like the low down.
Next week.
You can go down low.
For Tony Buscelli, Jeff Lagerman, Joe Fortunato, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next week, Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.